Good morning, everyone. A little smaller service, so you'll be getting a lot more per person. That's the way to go. So I heard of this Mennonite couple. They were a little older, and they were going out for a dinner, special dinner. And they were nice restaurant, nice dim-lit seat that they had, and so they were looking at each other and just talking, and his love just kept whelming up in him towards her, and he could hardly stand it. He's loved her so much, and as evening kept progressing, he just, his love just kept greater and greater. It got so bad, he almost had to tell her. Hopefully we're not doing that, but sometimes we may. So I hope all of you are calm in your spirit, you're relaxed, all your anxieties out the window, you can just be yourself. God has called us to be at peace within ourselves. That's where we function best. When we're in turmoil, we don't do very well. We don't. We're made to be at peace. And so let's take advantage of that this morning. So this morning I want to talk to you, or my first session on soul realignment. Realignment implies that it was aligned at one time. When Adam and Eve first started in the Garden of Eden, it was perfectly aligned. It said God walked with them, they talked with them, in the cool of the day they were talking, communicating, there was no conflict, there was all peace, and there was all no anxiety. They were perfectly in sync with each other. So soul realignment says it needs to be realigned. When God sent Jesus to be our Savior, it says God sent his Son to earth to reconcile us back to the Father. That's what he did. In other words, now we have the open door to heaven again. When he hung on the cross, we know the veil of the temple was torn, and it opened up for us. Up to that point, it wasn't open for the everyday person. But after he died on that cross, and all those things happened, we now have an open heaven. And so when I talk about soul realignment, how do we realign our soul with heaven? That's what I want to talk about for the next few Sundays. And our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. So the reason why I'm on this topic, I'll give you some thoughts on why I came to this topic. As I look at my own life, as I look at other people's lives, and as I go visit churches, I hear similar statements come up repeatedly. And their statements or questions like this: what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean I'm saved? Who's saved? Who's not saved? How do I know who's saved? Or spirit-filled. Don't all Christians have the Holy Spirit? It says no one can draw him except the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit. All believers, born-again believers, have the Holy Spirit within them. So what do we mean when we talk about spirit-filled? Why isn't everybody spirit-filled if we all have the Holy Spirit? Or can a Christian live without a desire to please God? Is that possible? Or why do some Christians not have a desire to please him? It's all about themselves. Is that possible? What makes me want to do right? And why do some believers not believe? They say they're born again. They say they're children of God. But they don't believe. They don't believe this book very much. A few verses, yes. Salvation, yes. But other than that, they don't really believe this book a whole lot. How is that possible? What are its characteristics of a healthy Christian? These are questions that come up repeatedly. What are characteristics of a healthy Christian? If you would go to Co-op and apply for a job, you would be expected to come and work for Co-op. If you were hired, right? Wherever we work, we go apply for a job. When we are hired, we are expected to go and work there. Or does Co-op have 100 employees floating around town that never work there? No, all the employees work for Co-op. So if we get hired on, accepted by our Heavenly Father as His children, as being born again, are we not then expected to go to work? Are we not then? Don't healthy Christians go work for their Savior? Or do we just sit back and say, yeah, I'm born again, now I can live in the flesh again? Like, how does that work? So questions like that have come out repeatedly. So today and the next few sessions, we're going to speak about soul realignment. How do we realign our soul? And why isn't our soul automatically realigned? Why isn't it? So let me start by talking a little bit about food. We feed our physical body. And for the sake of this message this morning, let's imagine our spirit is our head, soul is our heart, and then our body. So how do we feed our body, our physical body? We feed it by eating food, by some take vitamins, some people exercise. That's how we take care of our physical body, right? We do something about it. We sleep. We take rest. What about our spirit, man? What about our spirit? How do we feed our spirit? Ephesians 4 verse 30 says that do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That means that you can also make the Holy Spirit happy. Whatever you can grieve, you can make them also happy. So in order for us to answer what makes him sad, we must first look at what is his job. What is the Holy Spirit sent for? As they're waiting in the upper room for the Holy Spirit, a lot of things happened. One thing he says, I will send you a comforter. So he's a comforter. He also says he will guide you into all truth. You will have peace. He also says he will give you power when the Holy Spirit has come. Power and a sound mind. It also says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So when we do not experience these things in our lives, it makes the Holy Spirit sad. Because that's what he came to do. So if we don't accept what he came to do for us, it makes him sad. And for example, if you buy a big truck and you want to haul supplies with your truck, it's useless if you just use it to come to church. You buy it to haul loads. That's how you make your money, by hauling loads. The Holy Spirit was sent to work for you, to give you a lot of things, helped you with a lot of things. And if we don't accept that and understand that and realign our soul with this word, he is sad. He is sad. So how can we feed our spirit, man? How can we make our Holy Spirit, which we pretend to be in our head this morning, how can we make the Spirit happy and strong in us? One way of doing it is to spend time in His presence, in the Lord's presence. When we spend time in the Lord's presence, things happen. I've heard so many testimonies, and I experienced it myself. Just being in His presence, consistently, being in His presence for a period of time, maybe every day, things happen to you when you're in His presence. Not just praying, but relaxing in His presence, listening, just worshiping, and then just waiting on Him. There are things that happen to you in life that you will find out later as time goes on that, oh, I can point back to that time when I spent time with the Lord in His presence. Things happen there. I often refer to my time in the black closet. I, to this day, go back and say, since that day, things are different. I didn't realize it. You know one thing that changed for me? I don't have a desire for financial wealth the way I used to. It's gone. I don't know why. I don't know when it happened. It's just gone. Money doesn't mean to me much anymore. It just happened. It's gone. I love people more than before. I can't tell you the day it happened. It just happened, and as I spent time in his presence. And it's still continuing to happen. So that's how we feed our spirit man. By being in his presence, by delighting in this word, reading it for myself, not for others, for myself, and say, Lord, teach me through the word this morning. Teach me through the word. And as I read, I get stuck with a verse. And I look at it again. I say, let me read it again. And I might read it 3 times or 5 times. And I'm asking myself, what does God want to teach me through this verse? And some of the verses come back week after week for a period of time sometimes. They come back. But intimacy with God, that's how we build our spirit man. The Apostle John, and about 60 years after Jesus died, said this. In 3 John 1 verse 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, your thought life, your emotional life, your family life, your relationships. I wish you would prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. I can't go beyond myself in life. If I am an unhealthy person, if I have an unhealthy soul, that'll restrict me in everything I do. But he says, I wish you would prosper in all things just as your soul prospers. So our soul determines. By the way, the word heart and soul are used interchangeably in the New Testament and even Old Testament. Sometimes it refers to heart. Sometimes it refers to soul. But for this next few Sundays, we're going to use the word soul. And you could also interchange it with heart in many cases. So our soul is the motor. If you're emotionally down, you're down. If you feel hopeless, that's in here. The Holy Spirit is never hopeless. Ever. The Holy Spirit is never sad, never angry. It's always in very good shape and connected with the Heavenly Father at all times. So what is happening in us as we work on our soul? How does that work? And slide number one, I have the spirit, soul, and body on there, and I have the mind, will, and emotion. Some put intellect in there as well. That's where we live. And the God the Father, it says he is a spirit. So he lives with the spirit. We live in our soul. That's where we live. Then we have the body. Our body simply is housing all of it. We walk. We work with our hands. That's our body. The motor is the soul. Our soul is the motor. And the New Testament tells us throughout the whole New Testament, you can renew your soul and bring it in alignment with the Holy Spirit. That's the objective of a Christian, to bring our soul in alignment with the Holy Spirit. God cares for us very deeply. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify, which means to make you holy or purify you completely. And it says, And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Body, soul, and spirit, all blameless. So he delights in the spirit and our soul and body. They work together. So God is not only interested in our spirit. He's interested in who are you? Who are you as a person? Slide 2, I'm going to talk about what does it mean to be born again? We use a term all the time in church, that born again. Are you a Christian and the new birth? It's a very common term for us as church people. But what does it mean to be born again? What happens? We are a spiritual being having an earthly experience. We are a spiritual being having an earthly experience. We're born again in the spirit. God is a spirit. And so in Hebrews 6 verse 4, the last part of the verse says, we are made partakers of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 17 says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's an interesting thought. So we are spiritual beings. That's the only way we can ever connect with our Heavenly Father. We don't do it with our body. We can raise our hands, but that it all goes through our soul and spirit. Our born-again spirit has direct connection with our Heavenly Father at all times. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus says, to you are spirit and they are life. He said, I only speak to you what I hear the Father telling me. It's all driven from the God the Father through his Spirit spoken to us using the mouth. So we are human beings who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we can bring that out through our mouth or through our hands, through our actions. When I go and hug someone, love on someone, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The second slide, it talks about being born again. That means we are restored back to the Father. Restored back to the Father. By nature, we are not. Just like Adam and Eve, they lost their first birth. They lost it. And John 3:3 says, Jesus answered, it's talking to Nicodemus. And earlier, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, I see that you're a teacher, and I see that you're doing great miracles. You must be the Son of God. And then verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless he is born again. Jesus used this phrase several times, unless he's born again. Meaning, or natural birth, and then or spiritual birth. Born again. Which Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden. So God desires for us to know him in our soul. So that's because that's who we are. That's where I live. That's where I live. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We will come and make our home with him. So the new birth is a very big deal. It is a very big deal. But it happens at a time when sometimes we don't even know exactly what minute this happened. I heard a testimony this week where a man, he didn't know about salvation. He didn't know how to accept Christ. He hadn't been taught. He was already married, an older man. And he says, I went into the field and I prayed and I prayed and I wept and I said, I'm empty, I need something. And he was born again in the field all by himself. No preacher to pray over him, no one to encourage him, no one to tell him the Bible. The Holy Spirit told him what to do. That is very neat. So God is very interested that we are renewed in our mind. But we first have to be renewed in our spirit. John 3:5 says, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born of water and of the Spirit. Being born of water refers to our physical birth. Born of the Spirit is our spiritual birth. And then it says, humans can produce humans, and the Spirit produces the Holy Spirit. In verse 7 it says, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit, because we can't see it. But it happens in here, and it's a very, very big deal. So that's why we encourage people, or I often ask people, I've had many people come to me, and especially if they're older and who are always lived in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday, they will come to me and say that, I don't know when I was born again. And they're concerned about this because people have told them, unless you know the minute, then you're not born again. And they come to me and say, I don't know when it happened. Am I then not born again? And I ask them one question. Is your heart now for the Lord or not? And they say, yes. I said, you're born again. If you have a desire to serve the Lord, that means you have that holy desire. And so we may not recognize the exact minute that it happened, but it's a very big deal. But it's invisible. You can't see it. You can see the outworking of the Spirit if you allow the Spirit to control our soul. But what if that doesn't happen? I'll talk more about that next Sunday. So there's a major change happening from death to life. From death to life. And we're born again in the Spirit, not in the soul. Our soul is renewed day by day. Our spirit is born again. So when we have the new Spirit within us, then we have to ask the question, so if I have a new Spirit within me, and my spirit has direct connection with the Heavenly Father at all times, why is it not in here? Why do I not feel it in my soul more than I do? We'll talk about that some more. So now that we are born again, and we believe on our Heavenly Father, we've told Him, I want to serve You. I see that I'm a sinful person. I accept Your atonement on the cross as my salvation. I now want to serve You. You are now going to be my Lord. When we make that decision, then we are a believer. We are a Christian. We are born again. We have several types and shadows in the Old Testament. When Moses erected a snake in the wilderness, and they were all bitten by snakes, God told them, tell the people to look to the pole with the snake on it. And as they did, they lived. That was a type of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And so He's made it as simple as He possibly could for us to be born again. But it's the way we think. It's the way we think. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7 says, our carnal mind is an enemy to what is good, to the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 it says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There's no way you can please God in the flesh. No way. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, talking to believers. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So that is a big deal. The new birth is a big deal. That's where we start to connect with heavenly things. It says, unless you have the new birth, you can't even understand this book. It says that several times. So in slide 3, that's where I want to talk to you about that filter. Everything that goes into our soul goes through a filter. And that's what I want to spend most of my time with next Sunday, about that filter. Because that filter dictates who you are as a person. Romans 12 verse 2 says, and I'm going to read this out of the New Literal Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That word transform is metamorphosis. That's like a worm turning into a cocoon and a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. So we are transformed. We are made into something totally different. A worm and a butterfly are two totally different insects. Totally different. So he says, I want to transform you by the renewing of your mind, your way of thinking, from one to the other, from the old to the new. That is done by us renewing our mind and lining up with this book. As we read the Bible and we line up our thinking with this book, we are being transformed. And the question always comes up, so why are some people not transformed? Why are some people claiming to be Christians, but they're not transformed? They live their old sinful ways just like before. And now they claim to have grace and love of God. Now it doesn't matter. That's wrong. We need to be transformed. We need to be transformed. 3 John 1:2 again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and prosper in all things and be in health, just as you prosper in your soul. Prosper in all things. All things. So I am controlled by my soul, by my thinking, by my heart. It says in Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. So as we renew our soul, we are becoming a different person. It is happening. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, and I have a lot of verses this morning. I want to lay the foundation for next Sunday. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So a man knows man, a spirit knows spirit. If we are born again, we have the born again spirit in us. And that one can now talk to us. Talk to our soul and renew our soul. That's the objective of every believer. To line up your thinking with heaven or this book. They will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are part of the earth. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, thoughts and intent. Your thoughts and intent of the heart. Very sharp sword, dividing those things that we can hardly separate. Hardly separate. You make decisions in your soul based on what you think and feel. That's how you make decisions, based on what you think and feel. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, can separate what you think and feel to what is really real, to reality. Sometimes you have a sense of what you think is right and wrong, and the Holy Spirit tells you it's different. Then we need to always listen. We need to always be in the same frequency as the Holy Spirit so he can talk to us. Because he wants to tell us reality. My feelings and my thoughts are in my soul. That's where I live. I don't live here. I want to live from here. But I live here. So as my soul is being renewed, I'm able to get more of this into here, more of the spirit into my soul. So as we are born again, we have a desire. Every healthy believer has a desire for more things of God. He has a desire to search. He has a desire for his presence. But I find in my life, I had to learn to love his presence. I had to take time to fall in love with his presence. For most of my life, I didn't do that. I prayed, but I was not in love with his presence. I read the book. I prayed. I talked to him. Hopefully, he too would talk back to me. But when I learned to fall in love with his presence, I could relax in his presence. I could just be myself. I could just talk. And I don't have to perform in a prayer. Just tell him what's going on in here. He knows, but he wants you to know that you acknowledge. He wants you to acknowledge what you're going through. So our spirit man, the Holy Spirit, the new spirit, is always perfectly in connection with Heavenly Father. That's how you and I could do the things of God here on earth. By hearing from Him. By hearing from Him. Our soul is in contact with the world. Our spirit, this Holy Spirit, is not. We are in contact with the world. Holy Spirit is not. We are going through this series from Orphans to Sonship by Jack Frost. Very good series. I wish every one of you could do that, could go through that. But he explains why God can't use an orphan. Because their thinking is not scriptural. When our thinking is wrong, when we believe lies, it's hard for God to use us for truth. But he says, when you realize who God is, and you realize who you are, and the two connect, all of a sudden you become a son. And he can use sons. Sons understand his language. Slaves don't. Very interesting series. So we renew our mind by daily developing a habit of separating truth and lies. Separating truth and lies. But how can you do that unless you know this word? It's hard. But if you know this book, then you can quickly detect what thoughts are not of God. That is why we need to get familiar with this book. We don't read this book to get brownie points. We don't read this book for God to love us. That's the old covenant thinking. We read this book, it's written through the Holy Spirit, it's life. We read this book so we understand when a thought comes to our mind, where is this thought coming from? Is it lining up with the book? If not, reject it. If it does, accept it. And as you accept all the right thoughts, all the scriptural thoughts into your soul, you're slowly changing your soul. This is where we develop our belief system, is in here, not in here. You can think something, but not necessarily believe it. I remember years back when I was doing some prison ministry, it's going back 20 plus years, and there was this guy in prison, and we were already taught before we went into prison that there were con artists in prison. They always said that, be careful for con artists. But anyways, there was this guy, I remember so clearly, he was convincing me that if you would drop a penny from a 12-story building, it would sink right into the concrete. And he said, just imagine, a penny 2 feet into the concrete. And he was explaining this in detail. And he said, what would happen if a person would be standing right there? Right through him. He was explaining this whole thing to me. And he was dead serious. So I had to decide, is this truth or is this a lie? Is this a lie? I knew it wasn't true. But he really thought it was true. So we had a separate truth from lies. And that we did throughout all of life. All of life. But when it comes to spiritual things, we need this book to compare it to. Otherwise, you'll be confused. You can be easily misled because you don't know the truth from a lie. Things become settled in our heart when I look at a thought and I say, that is true. That is true. Then it becomes my belief system. And as long as I just think about that, it's not rooted in my soul. It's simply a thought in my head. Let me give you an example. This is a verse that God has been teaching me about for the last about 4 weeks. And it's coming back to me all the time. It's 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses from all sin. If you look at this in the context, it's continually cleansing. So it says, if I walk in the light, in honesty, openness, no secrets, then I love to talk to people. I can easily talk to people. I can share with people. I can make myself vulnerable to people. I like to share my faults with people. I like to hear them. I like to encourage them. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus in that scenario, in the light, fellowship cleanses us from all sin all the time. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, he sees you as a clean, righteous person. Even if you might do some things wrong. But he knows that you're trying to walk in the light. The light is the objective, not hiding or darkness. And it continually cleanses you all the time. That's how you're clean all the time. You're at peace and clean all the time. A few more thoughts and we're going to close. Matthew 7:21 says, "For from within, or soul, from within, out of the heart, or soul, men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murderers, and as a whole list of blasphemy, pride." And then verse 23, it says, "All these evil things come from within and defile a man." That's in here. The way I feel, the way I think, they don't come through the Holy Spirit. They come from within. So we can be spiritually minded, not just have a spiritual thought. I told the first service, for me, I had found out I need to spend time in the Word 2 hours a day for me to become spiritually minded. I'm not saying that's what you have to do. I'm just saying for myself. I've realized when I spend 2 hours a day or more in the Word or in prayer or listening to messages or listening to God, then I became spiritually minded. Minded is a way of thinking. It's not just a thought. It says to be carnally minded is death. Spiritually minded is life. To become minded a certain way, you have to spend a lot of time in it. In Mark 12, 30 and 31, I'm going to read 30, a verse that I've quoted so many times in the last year. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And the next verse says, your neighbor as yourself. If you focus on those two verses and daily ask yourself, is my soul lining up with those two verses? You'll be in good shape. Is my soul lining up with those two verses? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and your neighbor as yourself. If that is who I am, not what I do, not what I force myself to do, is that who I am? As we renew our soul, we find it a little easier to love. We find it easier to forgive. We find it easier to encourage someone. We are less critical. We are much more easily forgivable. We forgive easily. And I don't have to condemn all the time. I can love someone. And then it says, speaking the truth in love. When we love someone, the truth doesn't hurt so much, so bad. But if we don't love someone, the truth can really hurt. All these fruits of the Spirit come alive. As I line up my soul with the Holy Spirit. And as my soul is being realigned, I'm becoming more like this book. So it also says, by their fruits you shall know them. So people can look at me, watch me for a month or two or whatever. They know exactly what my soul is like. I can't hide it. They know if I am in the Word. They know if I'm a believer. I may be a Christian, but I may not really believe this book. But they will know exactly who I am. Spend a year with me, you'll know exactly who I am. What I value, what I don't value. What areas of my soul have been renewed. What areas have not been renewed. We can't hide a whole lot of things. So I would like to encourage all of us this morning. Let's just be aware that my soul is continually changing. I can renew it. I can also make it darker. By feeding on darkness, So that's what I become. By feeding on light, that's what I become. Light is in here, and darkness is in the world, and the flesh, and the lust. That's all darkness. So I am continually changing my soul. So the question is, can you look back a year from today and say, I have come a long ways from a year ago till now. I think differently. I love better. I forgive easier. I have more compassion with people. The fruits of the Spirit are more evident in my life. I have more meekness. I'm less defensive. That means I have a start of renewing my soul. So as we stand for prayer, if there's anyone that would like prayer, I'd ask you to come up front. We'll ask the prayer team to come up front during prayer so we can be ready when we are done praying. Because prayer changes things. Prayer, again, is all spiritual. It's all spiritual. I can't talk to the Heavenly Father unless I go through the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. And if there's any prayer team members here, I ask you to come up front. Heavenly Father, you really care about us. We read that in the Word, in the Bible, in the inspired Word of God. And Lord, this morning, we are grateful to you for the way you care for your children. You so gently guide us into all truth. You sent your Holy Spirit to guide us into, you don't want us to be lost or not know where we're going or be anxious or fearful. You have a desire for us to be sons and daughters who trust you, who believe in you, who are secure in you. In order for that to happen, we have to renew our soul, our way of thinking, our way of living or being. So Lord, teach us over the next couple of Sundays how to do that so that we can be fit for your kingdom as we study to show ourselves approved to you, Lord. Give us all a desire for your word, a desire to hear what you have to say, a desire to learn more than I know today. And Lord, I pray that all of us would experience what it's like to love your presence. To love your presence. And to just be in your presence individually, personally. Lord, I thank you for each one here this morning. And may we all together learn how to renew our souls and prosper in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our hope is that it will encourage you and help you to live the life God has called you to. If you would like to contact us, you can find the info at our website, freedomworshipcenter.ca. Goodbye and God bless.